Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Amen. I heard you guys had a great service last week with Philip, one of our faves, and he's going to be here in town for a little over a month and or longer. You know, we've been trying to get him to move down here for years. And so hopefully we'll see him again in these next few weeks. He'll come by and visit us again and and just do what Philip does. Amen? He's awesome. And so it's good to be back. Last week, Marisol and I were in Michigan. And it's so beautiful there because all the leaves are starting to change. And it's nice to visit, but it's always good to get home, right? Because, you know, when you're up there in Michigan, you think, oh, it's so pretty here. It's so beautiful. And the weather's so perfect. But you know what's coming? You know what's coming. And so thank God for Florida. You know, every time people go visit somewhere, they're always like, oh, I want to move here. But whenever I go visit somewhere, I'm always like, this is really nice. But I love South Florida. I love Lake Worth. This place just has my heart. I love Lake Worth. It's a weird city, but I love it. Amen. You know, I always say you never know what you're going to see in Lake Worth. Isn't that the truth? You just never know. It's one of the most eclectic cities probably in the U.S., I would imagine, just all kind of people from all different places thinking all different things. And I believe God's called us here to be a light and a place of love and acceptance and God's word in the city of Lake Worth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to kicking off a new series, and this new series is called Guardrails. Say guardrails. Now, for all you grammar and really smart folks, I just want to let you know that guardrails can be spelled as one word or two, and both are correct. So if you're looking at it saying, isn't that two words? It could be. Don't let that disconnect you from the service. Amen? You know, have you ever been in somewhere and you just keep staring at something and you don't hear anything that was said because you're thinking about something else? So we'll just kill that right now. It's one word or two. Both are correct. I ran it through the grammar police. All right? So we're good. We are absolutely good. But I'll tell you what, this series that we're going to do for the next few weeks, if you will listen to it, it will save you from a wreck in your life. You know, I've been in ministry for a long time. I've been alive for a long time. And, you know, there are just certain things that you learn. And one of the things that I have learned and I have practiced for years is healthy guardrails in my life. Amen? And one of the things that I have seen people not do is practice healthy guardrails in their life. And when you don't have healthy guardrails in your life, guess what's coming? A crash. And so we may not notice guardrails on the side of the road. We may not notice those very often, but really, when you need them, let's hope they're there, right? And so let me give you the definition of an actual guardrail. We got you can follow along on your Bible app, or we even got some note cards for you today. We really want you to get this message because it will help you not have some catastrophes. And, you know, how many of us have some things in our life that we regret? You know, we probably all don't have to raise our hand, but probably all of us. And I'll share with you, you know, so I don't really share this very often, but I have a few pretty big regrets. But one of my greatest regrets is that I did not spend my grandmother's last Christmas with her. And that is one of my greatest regrets in my life. Because my grandmother was always so important to me and so there, and Christmas was her big family celebration. We always did it at her house. And but here's what happened. I'm going to tell on myself, but I want you to remember a couple of things. One, I was young and stupid. All right? Will you remember that for me? Young and stupid and just stupid and selfish. That's just the truth. And so my grandmother, she was older. She was quite a bit older. She lived in Fort Lauderdale. Every year we'd go down there. Let's wait till these guys pass these out. Go ahead, guys. That's okay. Everybody's like, what are they doing? They're passing out some note cards for you to help you out. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you. So anyway, back to this is only one. Say one. I'm just going to share one. The rest I'll keep secret, right? But this is probably one of my greatest. You know, it has affected my life. and has caused me to make some really healthy decisions when it comes to family. But anyway, so my grandmother's having her Christmas Eve dinner. I've been going to this thing for as long as I can remember. And this particular Christmas Eve, I had met a boy. Right, uh-oh, is right. Who didn't go to church, wasn't born again. The story goes on. And I don't know what happened, but for some crazy reason, I spent Christmas Eve with his family, which was not my family. Here's the sad part. I felt convicted on the inside. I felt guilty. I knew it wasn't the right thing to do, but I did it. But here's why it's such a great regret. My grandmother died very shortly after. And I made a decision then. I was only about 21 at the time. It was a long time ago. But I made a decision then that I would never put other relationships above my family. Because, you know, friends come and friends go. But family, they're with you. You're stuck with them, right? Whether you love them or whatever, but family needs to be important in our lives. And, you know, God has a way of bringing people in our lives who become family. We have a church family. We have pockets of family through our church. And we're family not by blood, but by love and by commitment. And so one of the guardrails I have in my life was just a personal standard, is that I always consider my family. You know, my dad is 82 years old, still going strong. He's not riding his Harley as much as he did. But we have lunch together every Wednesday. Every Wednesday. We have done it for over 30 years. And there are some Wednesdays where it's just like, I got a to-do list a mile long. People are calling. Things need to be done. And there's my dad. Now he's texting. You know? Be careful what you teach your parents how to do. Be careful. You know? Now he's texting and saying, where's lunch today? And some days I'm just like, oh my gosh. But then I remember, family's important. Amen? Family's important. It's those small things that make up the big thing. You can't make up for a loss of family in one day. It's something that's built day after day, commitment after commitment after commitment. Amen? And so when we talk about guardrails, you may say, well, that's not a very big regret. It's big for me, and I got bigger. Believe me, I got bigger. But if you will listen to this message, it'll keep you out of the ditch of regret. Because you'll have those guardrails in your life that will keep you. What do guardrails do? They keep you on the road. Amen? And here's the definition for guardrails. A guardrail is a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. And where we need guardrails in our life, and naturally speaking, is in bridges where there's very little room for error. How many know you're thankful for a guardrail on a bridge? Because you go off that thing, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So we need guardrails there. We need them in medians. And that's when we're close to people going in the opposite direction. We need a guardrail there. We need a guardrail when curves. And that's when we encounter unexpected changes in conditions. You know, if there's a sharp curve coming up, they put a guardrail there. But the thing about guardrails is they're not located in the most dangerous place. The most dangerous place is beyond the guardrail, right? The guardrail keeps me from going to the most dangerous, from being in the worst situation. The guardrail holds me in. And so if I have contact with a guardrail, it's going to be like, man, that's something. But if there's no guardrail or I go beyond the guardrail, how many know that crash is going to be a whole lot worse than just rubbing up against a guardrail? And so if we have guardrails in our life and we're going through life and we're making decisions and we're living and we're trying to be the best us we can be, and we rub up against the guardrail, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, man, I need to watch out there and I need to get back on track, right? And there's not going to be a lot of damage there. But if there's no guardrail and we just keep going and going and going and going, where are we going to end up? We're going to end up in a ditch, in a disaster, in a catastrophe. And usually what people say when that happens is they say this. What do they say? I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened. It happened because little by little by little, you kept going off. You kept, you know, the road has a yellow line on it, right? And you just kept getting closer and closer and closer till you were over it. And then you're off somewhere and you're living a life that you never planned on living. And your life is filled with regret. You're separated from your kids. Your marriage is a mess. You've lost your job. Listen, I've heard all the stories. And you think, man, how did that happen? It happened because we had no healthy guardrails in our life to keep us on track. There is a ditch on both sides of the road. Where's the best place to be? On the road. Amen. We want to be on the road because the road is, number one, going to take you somewhere. And you're going to get there, and you're going to get there in one piece. But if we're constantly off-roading, when we're not built for off-roading, we're going to have a life that's filled with a bunch of bumps, bruises, and stuff that we just don't want to deal with. You know, especially when it comes to relationships. You know, I can't tell you how many times people have sat across from my desk, and they're in the valley, in the ditch. I mean, everything has exploded. And then you back up. And many times they're like, well, I don't know what happened. It seemed like everything was going okay, and then wham! But if you back up, you know, a few steps, a few weeks, a few years, you'll see where somebody crossed over. They were somewhere they shouldn't have been. And then they stayed there, and then they got comfortable there. So then what happens? We cross over a little more. And then we get comfortable there, and oh, we got new friends, we got new ideas, we're talking different, and then we cross over a little bit more. Next thing you know, you've got an explosion on your hands. And God wants to protect us from that. The guardrails that God wants us to put up in our life are not to keep us from things that are good for us, they're to keep us from things that will destroy us. And so we need to have these, and guardrails are a personal thing. What your guardrails and what my guardrails might be different. But we need to have personal standards where we might rub up against those and be like, oh yeah, man, I need to get back on track. And there's not going to be a lot of damage in our life. And that's why they're so good for us to have. And if we'll listen to this and hear from God's word, we're gonna avoid some of the greatest regrets in our life. Because the truth be told, if we think about, and all of us have regrets, the regrets in our life could have been avoided, many of them. And we're talking about regrets. They could have been avoided had we had guardrails in place in our life. And that's the truth. And so when we think about what a guardrail is according to the message that we're going to give these next few weeks, it's a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. It's my conscience. And when I break that guardrail, when I go too close or I go up against it, it's going to affect me. It's my personal standard. It's my conscience where I'm going to say, that's not for me. And the Holy Ghost is going to help me. He's going to help me make those. He's going to help me walk in those. He's going to help me stay on the road. And so guardrails, let me just give you a couple of things about them. They function as a warning signal, And there's some damage done when you hit a guardrail, but not nearly as much as if the guardrail wasn't there, like we said. And guardrails let us have what we could say a conscience crash, where it's just, you know, I'm the only one that knows about it. Isn't that a whole lot better? A guardrail will help me have a conscience crash instead of having a crash that affects everybody in my life and everything in my life. And so we're not the only ones that had to deal with this. In Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we're going to be. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And Paul's writing here, the Apostle Paul is writing. And sometimes when we read the Bible, if you're not careful, you'll read it and you'll think, this doesn't apply to me because they don't understand the world I live in. You know, I've heard people say, oh, the Bible is outdated. It has no idea what's going on in the world today. But here's the thing. Ephesians is merely a letter that Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. So they're in Ephesus and they're called Ephesians. Like we're in Florida and we're called Floridians. Kind of the same thing. So if he were to write a letter to us, it would be Floridians. Wouldn't that be that's kind of funny? Thank you, Camille. So, Floridians. And so, Paul is writing a letter to the Ephesians. And here's the thing. We can read this and we can say, oh, times have changed. How many have heard people say that about the Bible? Times have changed. Times have changed. The world is so bad now, they have no idea what I'm going through. You ever hear that one? But here's the thing about Ephesus at this time. If you can imagine this, it had a worse moral culture than we do. That's pretty bad, right? I mean, you know, you think about it. I mean, things that even today that we, like, raise our eyebrow about and are like, whoa, that is not cool. That is not good. That is not a good idea. Even the world would look at these things and say, that's overboard. In Ephesus, those were common practice. And so when we read this, we can recognize that these people are living in a world that is countercultural to the church world, just like we are. How many realize that the world we live in is countercultural to the church? What you believe, the world does not believe, right? And so they're living in that same place. And so Paul is writing a letter to them, so we can say, hey, this letter applies to me too. And so he's going to give a list of kind of commandments and instructions that are pretty hard-hitting in chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And it's a sinful culture. And Paul is telling us, he's saying, listen, you know, this is important. And just like you, just like me, when we hear a list like this, we think, how do I do that? How do I live in this world that is so countercultural to everything that I believe? How do I go to work when I work with people who think and act so differently from me? How do I live in this world? Is that a question anybody's been asking lately? How do I live here when it seems like everything is so different from what the Bible says, is so different from the life that God has for me? Man, how do I do that? Is it possible to live and be a Christian in a countercultural world? Paul says, yes, it is. Jesus says, yes, it is. Amen? And we need to say, yes, it is. And so Ephesians chapter 5, it teaches me, it shows me how to do that, how to live when everything around us is different from me. Is when I say countercultural, it means it's just, you know, what the world thinks and what I think are two different things. They're different. But I'm still in this world. I'm not of it, but how many recognize you're in it? So how do I live? How do I walk out my Christian walk when there's just so much crazy all around me? How do I do that? And so Paul teaches us in verse number 15, let's start there. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And so basically what he's saying here, Paul's saying is, listen, you need to be careful how you walk. Walk circumspectly. That means to watch how you walk. Look where you're walking. That's the first thing we need to do. We need to look where we're walking because there are landmines and traps all through the world, and we need to look and make sure we're not falling right into them. If someone was an alcoholic, would we encourage them to go down to the local bar? No, why? Because that's not good for them. It's not the place they need to be. But you know what? There are places, there are conversations, there are activities, there are things that we should not have anything to do with. Now, again, this is personal. I'm not going to stand up here and say, you need to do this and you need to do this. What's your conscience? What's your spirit man saying to you? What's it saying to you? If we'll listen, it's going to keep us from falling into some traps. And so Paul's saying to walk circumspectly. He's saying to watch where you walk. You know, in our house, how many know how many dogs we have? We have 4 dogs, 3 big ones, 1 what we call little. She's 24 pounds, but she's little to us, you know. And but then when I was in Michigan, they have a dog named Jonesy, and it only weighs 2 pounds. 2 pounds, and they bring it to church with them. It's at church all the time. It's like running around in all the meetings. It's like all over. But it's like this big. It's 2 pounds. It's like that, you know, I look at it and I think like, is that really a dog, you know? And it's so cute. It is so cute. It doesn't even look real. It looks like a little teddy bear. It's so adorable. I don't have one of those. All my dogs, with the exception of one, are big. And so we got 4 dogs. So when you go out in my backyard, you better walk circumspectly. you better watch where you walk. Because if you don't, you're going to have some poo on your shoe. And that's just the truth. But you know what? The world, how many know the world is full of that kind of stuff? And so we need to watch where we walk. We need to watch where we're at. That's where those guardrails come up. You know, guardrails in relationships. If you're married, you need healthy guardrails. There are conversations and places you don't belong. You don't belong. I'll tell you another story about when I was young and dumb. Some people love these stories. When I was young and dumb, I worked on an all-male team. All my coworkers were men. And I was young and dumb. And so every day we would work, and then we'd go out to lunch. It's just what we all did. No big deal. Nothing going on. Everybody's friends. We'd go eat lunch. We'd come back. We'd go back to work. Sounds good. Sounds okay, right? So then I got moved to another department. And there was only one coworker. One coworker. And so I'm young. I'm dumb. So every day, we go to lunch. He's married. But I'm not interested in him. I don't even think of him like that. He's just the guy in the frozen food department. And I'm in frozen food now, and I got to eat lunch. So we go to lunch every day. And we start to become friends. Still, I'm not thinking anything of it. Until one day his wife comes in the store, wanting to know where I am. Moving her head like this. You know there's trouble, right? You know there's trouble. When a woman moves her, I can't even do it. Who can do it for her? You know, move your head like that. Oh, there you go. She's got it. Belinda's got it. When a woman moves her head like that, you need to run. Because trouble is coming. And so she comes in, and she's like, you know, what are you doing hanging out with my hut? I'm like, hanging out? I'm not hanging out. We're having lunch. It never occurred to me that it was inappropriate. It never occurred to me, because I was, what? Young and dumb. But, you know, you can only use the young and dumb excuse once. Then you're accountable. It never occurred to me that this lunch was causing problems in his relationship. I was like, that's his business. But no, if I'm there, it's also my business. And I felt so convicted. I felt terrible. I felt terrible because I was so blind and just selfish. I didn't think about it. But listen, if you're married, now you can say, well, he shouldn't have been to lunch with you. No, I shouldn't have been to lunch with him. I was the believer. I'm held to a higher accountability. And, you know, I had to stand in a store and let somebody go off on me, shaking her head and wagging her finger. And I stood there and I took it because I knew that she was right. And I apologized, and I told her, I am so sorry. I never thought about it. It never occurred to me. I didn't put the blame back on him because I had to take my own responsibility. And, you know, when you're married, or even if someone else is married, you got to respect those boundaries. You got to respect those. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Whether you're married or not, you respect the boundaries of it. You respect the holiness of it, the godliness. You say, well, they're not respecting it. You don't answer for them. You answer for you. And so those boundaries, those guardrails, in marriage, there are conversations you don't have with other people. There are things you don't do with other people. Why? Because you got a healthy guardrail. You say, well, you're stifling me. No, I'm helping you. Amen. Because we don't want to wind up in a ditch and be like, "Why? I never planned." How many times have we heard this? Well, I never planned on this happening. Listen, things happen that we didn't plan on, but we can plan to not let those things happen. Amen? We can plan. We can say, but hold up. That's not healthy for me. And keep something that the enemy has planned for you. You can keep it from happening by having healthy boundaries. Amen? Now, don't get, you know, sometimes people take things too far and say, well, does that mean I can't even talk to somebody if they're married? Listen, you know and I know what is appropriate and what isn't. If you got to hide it, it's probably not appropriate. Amen? If you feel guilty about it, it's probably not appropriate. So often we're like, well, what about, what's your gut say? Follow that. Follow that. It's gonna help you. That's your guardrail setter right there. Amen? And so the Bible tells us to not as unwise. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He's saying, listen, don't be unwise, which is careless, but as wise, which is careful. Don't think, is it right or is it wrong? Ask yourself this question. I read a book one time. It said the most important question ever, the best question ever. And you had to read the book to figure out what it was. But you know what it was? Is it the wise thing to do? That's a healthy boundary. Is it the wise thing to do? And if you got to do mental gymnastics to make it the wise thing to do, how many of us can be grown-ups and say, it's not the wise thing to do? Amen? And then here we go in Ephesians. Remember, Paul's telling us, how do I live in a world that's so different from me? How do I live godly? How do I live holy? How do I keep from falling into these ditches? How do I keep from having catastrophes and extreme blow-ups in my life? How do I do that? Paul's teaching us, and he's saying, listen, be careful how you walk. Don't walk as a fool, but be wise. Be wise. In Ephesians 5:16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many believe the days are evil? But he says, redeeming the time, and that word is saying being intentional about how you live. He's like, be intentional. Don't be so late. Oh, well, whatever happens, happens. How many have ever had that attitude and something happened you didn't want to happen? It's because that's not healthy. I've got to make decisions. Are we just going to get in our car and just put the gas and go, wherever I go, I go? Can you imagine? We'd be running into houses, cars, people. Oh, wherever I go, wherever the wind takes me. Now, that sounds pretty on a greeting card, but you can't live your life like that. Wherever the wind takes me. That's foolish. You've got somewhere to be. You've got somewhere to go. You've got a life that God has for you. And the enemy is trying all that he can to pull you off the road that God has for you, to pull you off the plan that he has. He's trying to pull you out. He's trying to take you out. And you got to say, no, I got somewhere to go. God has a plan for me. God has a call on my life. I've got people to preach, to minister to. I've got people to love. I've got people to tell about Jesus. I've got a family to raise. Amen?
Amen.
I can't have the whatever happens, happens. Well, when your kids are going crazy, your marriage is over, are you going to be excited about your little attitude? Whatever happens, happens. No, you're going to be like, man, I need help. What can I do? You got to get on the road that God has for you. And we can't be so just whatever. He says redeem the time. It means be intentional with your time. Be intentional. Realize that time spent in unhealthy things produces unhealthy things in your life. Time spent watching things that are unhealthy produces unhealthiness in your life. You can't say, oh, it doesn't matter. Nobody knows. Nobody sees. That's why a boundary is personal. That's why a guardrail is personal. We say, I need this to keep me on the road. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. And so Ephesians 5:17, we're just listening to these instructions Paul has. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, listen, you want to know how to live life here in this time that is countercultural to everything of the word, when the world is getting more and more hostile to the things of God? You want to know how to live? He said, listen, be careful where you walk. Be careful where you walk. Don't walk as a fool. Don't just walk into anything. Don't just walk around with your eyes closed because there's bombs out there, just like in my backyard. You better watch where you're walking. He says, listen, you need to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. You need to be intentional about what you're doing. Be intentional. And then he says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to understand what God's will is. And how do we obey that command? Here's the thing, and this is going to help you. Listen, by obeying what you already know is the right thing to do. You hear me? We're believers. Paul's writing to believers. He's writing to a church. We're a church. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And I don't know about you, but I'll talk about me. When I look back on the biggest mistakes and regrets of my life, without exception, as a believer, as a child of God, without exception, there was a prompting and a warning. There was a knowing on the inside that I was going the wrong direction. And that's probably true for all of us. Where we knew. And so we say, how do you know what the will of the Lord is? Through his word and through that Holy Ghost prompting on the inside. How do we, people act like living for God is so hard, it's so difficult. And it's not easy. It's not easy to not be in on everything. It's not easy to not watch things that maybe we want to watch. It's not easy. It's not easy to stand up. It's not easy. That's true. But don't act like you don't know what to do. It's just not easy to do. Amen? We know. We know. And so let's not make it more complicated than it is. Let's just trust that God's going to show us and help us. And when that warning bell starts ringing on the inside, let's listen. Because that's a guardrail in your life trying to keep you from going into an area that is way more dangerous and it's going to be way more costly for you. Amen? And so Paul's saying, listen, you need to know what the will of the Lord is. You need to know what's on the other side of the guardrail. And a lot of us, we do know what's on the other side. You know where that, you may not see the extent of it, but you can see the next step. We need to ask ourselves, is this going to pull me closer to my family or pull me further apart? Is this going to pull me closer to God or pull me further away? You know, you'll never have the problem of falling in love and dealing with an unbeliever. You know, so many people in the body of Christ, you get caught up in relationships with people that don't think like you, don't act like you, don't live like you, and then you wonder why it doesn't work. It's exciting at first because opposites attract. And it's exciting, especially you ladies, I should say us ladies, because we're like, oh, he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. That's true. He does need Jesus, but not from you. And then guys, you know, you're like, yeah, girls. You're like, oh, she needs a rescue. She needs a rescue. Dun, da, da, da. I'm here to rescue. I'm here to fix her. I'm here to help her. I'm here to pull her out of what she's in. And I'm here to change her. And then next thing you know, you're in a situation that you're unequally yoked. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they agree? And you're like, how did this happen? If you put up a healthy guardrail now, that you don't date anybody, you don't even smile at somebody unless they are a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, going-to-church person. I can't tell you how they say, oh, I met somebody. I'm like, great, where do they go to church? Well, and I'm like, that is trouble. That is trouble. You say, well, you say that because you want everybody to go to church. That's right, I do want everybody to go to church because the body of Christ is the church. And you're supposed to go to church. Why? Because it's healthy for you. It's good for you. And you say, oh, well, they're going to change. No, they're going to change you. I've seen it. Oh, I've lived it over and over and over again. But if you have a guardrail up, and you just, as soon as Mr. Beautiful, Miss Beautiful comes walking in, and if they don't have the fruit of the Spirit in their life, they don't have godliness in their life, they're not like you. Then you can be like, oh, that's my guardrail. That's my boundary. But if you cross it, oh, it's a slippery slope. Slippery. I've been there. It's slippery. and it goes fast. And you know what? You know who gets hurt? You and the other person. And the other person gets hurt. I'll never forget when I was in a relationship like that. And the person that I was dating and had been dating, long story, same person I went to Christmas Eve with, just the devil incarnate. You know what he said to me? He said, if your God is so big, how come you left him for me? What can I say? Well, he really is big, but, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like, what can you say? But, you know, you think like, oh, they need Jesus. They do need Jesus, but they're not going to get Jesus from you. And you can lie to yourself all day long, but God's got a lot of believers who can give Jesus to that person without you compromising. Because if you compromise for them, you weaken God to them. Isn't that the truth? If you compromise for them, you weaken God to them. Because how big is your God if you're not even living for him? Amen? So it says, listen, be wise. Watch where you're walking. Amen? Understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's keep going here. Ephesians 5:18. And it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a touchy issue right now in the body of Christ when it comes to drinking. And, you know, it said, I'm not going to tell you that drinking is a sin, because it does not say that in the Bible. I do believe that it is wrong for a leader to drink. I believe that, and I believe the Bible teaches that. And that is why no leader, no staff member in this church drinks. If they do, they're out. See you later. And that's just how it is, because I believe the Bible teaches that. But Paul's saying, listen, don't be drunk with wine where it's in excess, or another word says it's debauchery. He's saying, listen, don't let anything have control over you. And he uses the example of wine because it's so common. It was so common in this culture. Everybody drank wine. And it's common in our culture too. And he's saying, listen, if you're going to drink, don't do it in excess. Don't take it to debauchery. Don't take it to where it has control over you. He said, that is not right. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we could put this on anything. We could say, don't do this where it has control over you. Don't do this where it has control over you. And so Paul is saying, listen, don't let anything have control over you, but be filled with the Spirit of God. What's he saying? Let the Spirit of God have control over you. Amen? And so Paul uses wine as an example, and he's saying, listen, don't take anything too far. How many know you can take anything too far? You can take spirituality too far. You ever met somebody like that? Where they are just so out there. It's like, what? When they're talking to you, you have no idea what they're saying. Nobody is listening to them because they're so checked out. The Bible says, don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You can take being spiritual too far. Where you just turn into flakiness. Flaky. Anything too far is too much. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, how do you live in this world? Don't take anything too far. You can take anything too far. You can take movies too far, TV too far, relationships too far, joking too far, entertainment too far, sports too far. You can take anything too far. And Paul is saying, you want to live in this world that is so countercultural to you? You want to live in this world and be holy and be sanctified and live for Jesus? You want to do that? Don't do anything in excess. Don't let anything take you over to debauchery where it has control over you. And so listen, you know, right now, if just on the inside, your guardrail is like, hey, you drink too much, you need to listen to that. You need to listen to it. Because if your drinking is affecting your relationships, your life, everything around you, it is too much. It's too much. People say, oh, I just want to have a glass of wine with dinner. That's one thing. But having a bottle of wine every night, that's another thing. That's a whole other thing. We can take any, you know, watching one football game, that's one thing. Being glued to your TV the whole season, paying money that's not in your budget to have extra games, and doing all this, and then it goes into, you know, the leagues and all this stuff where it is consuming your life, that's another thing. And so Paul's saying, listen, don't do it in excess where it has control over you. He says, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's let God have control over us. Wouldn't that be a whole lot better? How many think your life's going to be a whole lot better? Right. Amen? It's going to be a whole lot better. So that principle is not just about alcohol. It's about anything. Anything that leads towards indulgence or just too much. Just too much. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. God wants to be the preeminent influencer in your life. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he says, how am I going to do that? Verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You want to get filled? That's how to do it. Spend time singing and speaking melody to the Lord. Just spend time with God. Spend time with him. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? You spend time with him. You spend time with him. I'm sure all of us have had moments where we feel empty. How do we get full again? We get back under the spout, right? There used to be an old song we used to sing, get under the spout where the anointing comes out or something like that. You get back into the presence of God. You get back into his word. It fills you up. And then the next verse here, we'll close here in verse number 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be thankful that we're living this lifestyle. I need to be thankful that I'm walking in the will of God. Not sitting at home saying, man, that will of God, I wish I didn't have to. No, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful for the presence of God in our life. Let's be thankful for the guardrails that God has helped us to put into our lives. Let's be thankful that they are protecting me and they are directing me. Let's be thankful that God has a plan for our lives. Guardrails are healthy. And if we'll put them up in our lives, that personal guardrail, like if this is my personal guardrail, you know, there are certain things, you know, I like TV. I always joke I was raised by Aaron Spelling, you know. I love TV. I just, you know, my dad's a TV watcher. I'm a TV watcher. I like TV. But I'm very, very selective of what I watch. And so there was a new show coming on, and, you know, all the new shows are out now, and I get all excited. You can judge me if you want, it's all right. And I get all excited, I'm like, oh, you know, new shows are coming on. And so a new show's coming on, and it's all about, you know, the FBI and all this kind of stuff. And I don't watch anything that I pay for, because if I have to pay for it, then that means it's going to have stuff in it I don't need to watch. So that's my personal guardrail. I don't watch anything that you got to pay for, nothing. And so I turned the TV on, and Scott and I are sitting there, and we recorded it, and we're watching it, and, you know, we're thinking, like, oh, this looks like it's going to be good. And we're watching, and then all of a sudden, poof, like this crazy, crazy sex scene. You know what? You know what happened? Went up against my guardrail. And so my husband is so funny. He's like, what did you record? What are we watching? And I'm like, it's a pilot. I've never seen it. He's looking at me like I'm just like the sin of the earth. What are you watching? I said, I've never seen it either, you know. And it was on network TV. So some of you guys would be like, oh, it's not too bad, you know. But for me, remember, it's personal. It's personal. I don't set your guardrails. You don't set mine. It was my personal guardrail. So when that scene came on, boom, up against my guardrails. You know what we did? Clicked it off. We didn't say like, oh, but you know what? Maybe it'll get better. No, if they do it in the beginning, guess what? They're going to do it again, right? They're going to do it again. You know, and that's how people are too. You're like, oh, he hit me. He hit me one time, but I don't think he'll do it again. If a man will do it once, he'll do it twice. You need to run. Amen? He needs help. He may not be a bad person. He's probably a good person. But somewhere along the line, he's gotten some wrong thinking. He needs help. And you are not the one to give it to him. He needs it from somebody probably bigger and stronger. Amen? 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 You know, that's what he needs. And so we got to have those guardrails in our life. So when something comes up, you know, or somebody, a joke, somebody starts telling a joke, you're like, oh, that doesn't sound, guardrail. Just go out. You don't have to say, in the name of Jesus, quit telling this joke. Don't do that. It's crazy. Don't do that. Your people are going to be like, what? Just go to the other place. Because you set your guardrail, they set theirs. Amen? It's just not for me. And say, hey, why'd you walk out? Man, that's just not for me. It's not my thing. Personal guardrails are going to save us from destroying what's important to us. Amen? And you know, next week, you know, make sure you come back next week because you know what we're going to talk about? Here's the title of next week's message. No, I cannot be your friend. No, I cannot be your friend. I will love you. I will care for you. I will pray for you. I cannot be your friend. I can't. Come back for that one. Some of you are like, oh, I need that one. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to help us with our own personal guardrails, that you would just help us to see them, to set them, so that we can be saved from destruction in our life. Because, Lord, we know that you have a plan that is good and has blessings for us. And it's not a plan of destruction or anything like that. And you're trying to help us to live out the plan you have for our life, a plan of good and a plan of abundance and a plan of love. And so, Father, I just ask that you just help each one of us. Lord, as I was speaking this message today, if on the inside of us listening, if something rose up and said, man, yeah, you need to listen here. That Holy Spirit, you would help us to not just leave it here in the sanctuary, but take it out in our day, take it out in our life, because Lord, we want to be careful how we walk. Help us. Holy Spirit, we need help. We live in a world that's just kind of crazy, and we need help so that we can be a light. Lord, help us. Help us get to the point where we are strong and we are walking boldly and confidently so that we can be a light and a source of strength and hope for other people. Lord, help us to not turn into judgmental jerks, but Lord, help us to always have a soft heart that loves and cares for people, no matter what condition they're in, no matter where they are. Lord, we ask for your help in those things. Yes. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, out of respect for the people here, out of respect for God and what God is doing, if you're here today and you say, Peggy, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never said yes to the greatest gift ever given, and that is Jesus. If you're here today and maybe you don't even know why you're here, but you came in and you're thinking that something is missing, or maybe you're just looking for more out of life, who you're looking for is Jesus, and he is here for you. He's not interested in what you've done. He's interested in where you are. Don't let your past dictate what you do right now. You say, oh, but I've done all these things and I need to clean up. No, that's what Jesus does. Jesus takes you just like you are, and he loves you. He forgives you and saves you. So how does that happen? You just open your heart and say yes to Jesus. If you're here with nobody looking around and you want to say yes to Jesus, I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. This is between you and God. But if you're here and you say, I want to say yes to Jesus, I want more love in my life, more forgiveness. I need to know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you and nobody looking around, just raise your hand up and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. That's me. Or maybe you're here today and you've gone past the guardrail. You've crashed. You've walked away from God. I always say this, you can go 1,000 steps away from God, but he's always one step back. If you need to take a step back today and recommit your life to the Lord, all you got to do is say yes to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's all say this prayer together, because one good thing about being in the body of Christ is you're never alone again. You're never alone again. And so let's all say this prayer together for those who raise their hand so they know that they've got a family that loves them and stands with them. So let's say this together. Say, Father God, I repent. I turn my back on things that are not of you. as of today, I commit my life to you, Jesus. I receive forgiveness. I receive a fresh start. Because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came. He died. He rose again. All for me. I am forgiven. I am saved. I have a fresh start. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo, aren't you glad? God's so good. God is so good. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've got our announcements. Then today, after 11 service.